Beloved, the Father of Lights is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for the activities we've all been engaged in. Thank you for the successes. Thank you for the lessons. Thank you for grace given to us to accomplish the things we're able to do today. We thank you, Father, for making it possible for us to be here together with your people and asking of you today, according to your promise, that you will come into our midst anytime we gather your name. We acknowledge your presence and your supremacy and lordship over this meeting tonight in the name of Jesus. We say anything that is not born of God, we cast down, be arrested and removed in Jesus' name. We give angels permission to minister to all those who are here and those who should come in Jesus' name. Father, I ask for entrance. I ask for access into your mind to speak as a oracle and bless your people and bring clarity to our thoughts in Jesus' name. Trust you, Father, that when we leave, we'll have a clearer idea of what to do and how to go about doing it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please can we sit? Good evening, everyone. Welcome. This evening, I still want to continue with my discourse about, I'm trying to do a comparison with the present system we live in and the one that heaven wants us to operate on. When we start talking about the kingdom of heaven, you will see why and how it is completely different from what obtains in this realm. Praise God. What I may not be able to tell you is what you should do. Maybe you should go and sell some rice, because rice is going to sell. I'm not likely to go in that direction. Praise God. But I will tell you the principles of God's kingdom and how God will want us to transfer wealth from his realm into this realm and what we should do with the resources. Praise God. Because for many of us, we are really operating on a survival mode. That's what we are operating on, survival. Just let me survive. Now, by the time you begin to proceed or move beyond that level of survival, we begin to have problems. We have seen it. Many Paul warned us. He said those who desire to be rich in this world will have problems. They will have serious problems. They were pierced with all kinds of problems. And the reason is simple. You cannot be a kingdom person and use the principles of this system, and you think it is going to be okay. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it has never worked. Well, we'll see that. But let me just help us this evening. I mean, tonight, I want to just show us again about the progression, the historical progression of economic systems. Amen. But before I delve into that, I need to explain something. Every society has about five things, five parameters that defines a society. Amen. And we are looking at one of the five are these: the economy, the government, the kind of government that society chooses to operate by, the family units, the kind of families that we have, the educational system, and the religious belief systems. All these are very critical if a society is going to move forward or a society is not going to move forward. Praise God. And as we begin to talk about this, you will begin to appreciate the reasons why we are going through what we are going through. Why Nigeria or our community is going through what we are going through. Praise God. And you look at somehow all these five interface with one another. It's like one affects the other. And that will require a detailed study to know which one is more important at any particular time. But somehow, they all interface. Praise God. Every society have three major things that constitutes it too. I've talked about just five things that, you know, that you need to look at in any community or any society. But when you look at the issue of these three things actually define those five things. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Praise God. There are five things that you need to look at in any community. Are you with me? You look at the economy, you look at their family structure, you look at the kind of government and the rules and laws that governs them, you look at the educational system, you look at their religion. But you will find out that religion itself, in a way, controls the value system. It controls the norms. Praise God. And it is on those two things that you build your institutions upon. I hope you are with me. Praise God. Now, if your religion is faulty, your value system will be faulty. Your norms will be faulty. And definitely the institutions you will build to deal with these five things will also be what? They'll be faulty. Praise God. I said praise God. Now, in a place where you have Islam, and there is this belief system that anything that happens to you is the handiwork of God, that kills initiative. One, right? What does also kill? It kills responsibility. It kills your capacity to make changes. I don't know whether you understand. And so you cannot expect that kind of community to develop or respond to changes. I hope I'm okay. So any institutions they build is going to be affected by that kind of belief system and those norms that govern that community. And of course, it is from those things that will define the kind of economy they will run. It will define the kind of families they will have. It will define virtually everything about them. Praise God. I hope you are with me. Amen. And so, when you now look at the history of the economy systems that have run this world, you will see a progression in the way Lucifer has grown the souls of men. Hallelujah. He has grown them. He has taught them. They just did not, those values did not come down from heaven. Hallelujah. Are you with me? They evolved. He taught them. You remember the knowledge of good and evil. It's this system is knowledge, is a knowledge-based system. I hope I'm making sense. It's knowledge-based. It's research-based. You research. The issue of good and evil is something that God could have told Adam, this is good and this is bad. But that desire to find out themselves. I hope you are following you. I hope you are following me. That's why you're all in the university. Because you want to find out. My MBA project, that time was when we were having privatization and there were two schools of thought. Should we privatize and let the economy be run by private individuals, or should we still continue with the state-owned system of running things? Do you understand me? And there was a lot of argument that private enterprise is more profitable for us. So I did a project. Amen. And at the end of the project, I discovered that there was no difference. There was no significant difference. Praise God. And the professor was my exam supervisor. I said, of course, it is very simple now. It is self-evident that there is no difference. Praise God. And I was like, really? I spent 1 year doing this research, you know. That God would have even told me, if I waited upon God, God, what is the situation? God has said, this is the situation. And I would have needed not to bother myself doing the research. Am I communicating? But the system, the world system, is predicated on you finding out on your own. It's a knowledge-based system. Amen. And that knowledge is taught by fallen spirits. Amen. And so you find them teaching people, you find societies linking up with them and downloading. And the reason why that is simple. The community that has the latest information and technology has the chance of dominating the others. Praise God. I hope I'm making sense. Amen. And so you find many communities linking up with spirits and developing these things. Praise God. Now, I want to look at an economic system that, unfortunately, it was a man of our own that set up that system. Before Joseph came on board, every Gentile nation had a way by which they ran the system. It was not organized. It was, everything was just upside down. The first record of an organized economic system was in Egypt. And it was set up by Joseph. Praise God. Can we look at the story of Joseph in Genesis? Let this thing come up. Okay. Let us look at Genesis 47. I want to read, it's a long read. Genesis 47 verse 13 to 26. It's a long story. Now, it says, are you there? All right. Genesis 47 verse 13 to 26. Praise God. It says, and there was no bread in all the land. Now, remember that Joseph had given a clue to how to solve the problem of the famine. Is it famine or famine? I call it famine. Praise God. I said praise God. Abi, you are angry with me. It's famine. Amen. I don't know how many kings God showed that dream to. I want to believe that it was not only Pharaoh that had that dream. I don't believe so. It's my belief. Oh, I can't go to court on the matter. Is that okay? Please, share you understand. Are you forgiving me? For the sake of my argument, let us just follow my argument. That it was not the only one that had that dream. But others had no one that could interpret the dreams. Save for who? For Egypt. Who had Joseph. May you be blessed with people like Joseph in Jesus' name. When a society does not have people like Joseph who can interpret dreams, they are messed up. That community, that society is messed up. Now, that's just by the way. Now, it says there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Praise God. And he said, run the show for us. Praise God. And so what did he do? He said, during the time of plenty, he bought, remember, it's about demand, supply. He bought certain portion and stored it in silos. He started the silo, the issue of storage. There was no storage program before. Praise God. He was the first person who came up with the storage technology. And I was able to stop for 7 years, a mystery on his own. Praise God. But when the famine started, the Bible told us this, and it said, and it got to a time, about maybe the second or third year, every man's storage facility got exhausted. Finished. Now, they had Please don't forget, they had money. They had properties. They were rich men in Egypt. But when the famine came, everybody was equalized. Because you will understand this when I go on. Praise God. You need to understand. And Bible says in verse 13, there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money to Pharaoh's house. And when money failed, praise God, money can fail. And money will fail. We cannot run our lives on money. Conditions of the earth is not stable. And we see it here. And this is a template I will talk about later on. And money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan. All the Egyptians now came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, but why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle." They began to sell their properties. Amen. They began to do what? And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the earth, and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year was ended, they came back to him the second year and said, "We shall not hide it from you, my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also had our heads of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thy eyes?" They are using him, they are scooping him. But you knew where they were going. And, but both we and our land, buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land shall be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests brought he not. For the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day, and your land for Pharaoh. Go, here is it for you. You shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh." 1/5 is what? 20%. God collects 10. Pharaoh took 20. Praise God. It's called the principle of taxation. Can you see how Joseph introduced economic novelty into the earth? It was not like this. It was the first person to start structuring the economy for people. And don't bother you. Now, please look at the scenario. When there was famine and money failed, will you eat your car if you have a car? I was thinking about it some time ago. My brother said they entered one house like that, very posh house in Liberia during the Civil War in Liberia, Ekomog. It was in Ekomog, and that house was beautiful. There were cars parked in the garage. Pine cars were parked in the garage. And they entered the house. Everywhere was overgrown. But they said they noticed that there were plates on the table. Fork. Those guys ran out in the middle of where they were eating. They couldn't take their cars. Their clothes were in the cupboard. Everywhere was left as they ran out. War is not good, though. It's good in TV when you're watching it on film. In real life, we shouldn't even pray for it. Hallelujah. I don't know whether it was Rwanda, one of those countries in Africa that they were having civil war. One of the former ministers in that country was standing on the queue begging for food to eat. All his certificate meant nothing in the face of hunger. What am I therefore saying to us? When push comes to shove, the matter will be, what shall I eat? Nobody cares what you wear. It is food. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. It is what? Food. The most essential thing in human existence is food and water. Every other thing can go. They sold themselves and became slaves and began to serve Pharaoh. They lived to serve Pharaoh. And that's how the whole Egypt became Pharaoh's. Praise the Lord. And because of that famine. Praise God. Egypt became a regional power because they have money, because all the money, they had drawn all the money of the whole surrounding areas. And with money, they could buy any kind of military thing they wanted to buy. I hope you are following me. So you find out that that kind of natural disasters will bring down one nation and it will raise up another nation. If the nation can prepare for and anticipate that issue. Right now, Nigeria is supposed to have what we call strategic grain reserve. If anything happens to us, that grain reserve cannot last 20 days. We are going to have problems on our hands. The silos are even empty. We have been scammed. We thought there are grains. There are no grains. And there are many reasons that causes famine. One of it is war. You now should understand why Boko Haram is attacking farmers. Because they want to trigger an economic disaster. Right now, you and I should know the consequence of what's going on in Russia. Russia put a blockade on Ukraine. Ukraine can't export grains. They can't export anything. They've shut them down. And that is affecting the whole world supply. And prices of food and everything shooting up. The world cannot survive. They begged him to let those things come out. They are begging him. He has just agreed just about yesterday also to allow those grains to come out. Otherwise, the whole economy of the world will crash. And it's still going to crash. So you should know where we are going. Praise God. Am I making sense? So we see a man give us a template of how an economy of a community or a society was organized. Amen. Now, there was another person who did something similar. Now, do you remember the time when they asked Samuel for a king? 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 to 19. When they asked Samuel, we don't want your sons to be judges over us. We want a king like other nations. Now, the way other kings like other nations were running their society was the way Pharaoh ran the society. I hope you are following me. And God said, let me remind you what kind of king you guys are asking for. Like we're asking for Jagaban. Sure you understand. We're asking him. Hey, so we should know what we're asking for. And God said, I want you to know. Are you there? 1 Samuel. I'm not getting anything here. And Samuel said, told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. 11, and he says, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. 1, he will take your sons and appoint them for himself, just like Pharaoh did under brother Joseph. For his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to hear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments for his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he shall take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. 15, and he will take the tenth of your seed And of your vineyards, Pharaoh took 20. God said, this is what we take 10. And give it to his officers and to his servants. 16. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodless good men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we shall have a king over us. Hallelujah. I hope you are seeing the manner of people's hearts. We said, Lord, give us Buhari. Are we not blessed? Amen. We have started again. Give us 2023. Praise God. You get what you ask for. But that's not the trust of today's message. The issue is that the Gentile nations, just like Jesus Christ warned, he said the leaders of the Gentiles, what do they do over their people? They lord it over them. Because that was a system that Joseph set in motion. Amen. Now, Brother Joseph did it innocently. But Satan took it and ran with it. Praise God. Just like any other discoveries we've come across, Satan has taken it and used it. And so you find out that the system that you and I live in is basically targeted towards oppression. And you read it in Proverbs. It says the rich rules over the poor. Praise God. That's the way it is. You rule over the poor. And so there is this desire in all of us to want to come out of that rat race and be in a place where you two have a little authority to also oppress somebody else. Praise God. As they're oppressing you from Abuja, you two want to oppress them here in Ondo State. Amen. And so even to the point where the person in the local government service, the messenger, wants to oppress you too. So oppression just keeps on going. It's a Gentile system. Hallelujah. Just the way the system is designed to operate. Praise God. Now, if you and I realize this, the question before us, hallelujah, is what kind of system are we living in now? Now, there has been a progression. Like I told us last week, Babylon was the purest form, the first real consolidated world power. Now, Egypt was a regional power. It was not a world power. Egypt could not project our values onto other societies beyond those around them. Are you with me? They could not project it. The first set of people to project world dominance and subdue men and compel men to follow their way of living was Babylon. You could see a shift in seasons. I don't know whether you're with me. There was a shift in operation. While in the past, Satan was operating on local level. I come, I invade your country, I carry slaves and everything you have, and I go my way. What happens to the rest of your land does not concern me. But Babylon didn't do that. Babylon came subdued and compelled people to speak the Babylonian language. I hope you get it. So there was a shift. And then Babylon will stay in his village or in his city, and you will be sending him. So instead of him collecting what you have and stripping you, he will now let you now work for him. Can you see that things started changing? And every subsequent world power after that adopted that model. So somebody sits, the queen sits in England, and you and I work for her. Many of you may not know, UAC. You know UAC. They used to call them one particular name many years ago, before the independence. They were the owners of the Southern Protectorate. Hey, that company owned us. They owned the East. Amen. They owned the West. They owned Lagos. Somebody said that, do you know about this song? I don't know. I mean, I didn't do research. I just heard it. Eyo, eyo. It was the revolt of Lagos. They revolted against taxation. That's why they sang that song. If you look at the words of that song. Ah, they saw only body. Table correct. It was a revolt. Because the taxation was grievous. They were collecting, they were stripping us and empowering the Queen of England who sat over nations. So that was the only empire. So there was one empire like that. You remember the empire? The empire of this husband of Esther. Whose empire spanned massive empire. But the other empires are now king. Hallelujah. The British Empire was also like that. They said the sun never sets on the British Empire. By the time it's rising here, and it's setting there, it's rising somewhere here. By the time this one is setting, it's rising there again. So the British Empire constantly has light. Amen. I hope you're with me. So they started doing that. But when it came to the time, so when you now look at each of these, what's it called? Each of those empires. Yes, they may differ in terms of their religion. They may differ in terms of their civilization. Because basically what they used to do was they distilled civilization. That's why when the Babylon went into Judea, they took all the best brains. Those were the children that were schooled. They were trained. Their minds were first-class minds. The best of that generation. Praise God. And they were usually the princes and the princesses. Praise God. They were educated. So they brought them to teach them the ways of the Babylonians. It's called colonization. They taught us the principle of colonization. Praise God. Are you with me? Change their language. Amen. Change their dressing. What else did they change? Change their science. Praise God. What then? Change their diet. Their taste buds. Once you complete those four things, the guy will lose his background. His history will die. He will die. You just kill him. Then he's out here. I'm born in England. They saw your body. The guy has gone. Because they've changed everything about him. So I was watching a video of a pastor. He said they said that Obama is black. Say Obama will look black. Say Obama came for a meeting with black leaders, caucus leaders. And one of the things about black people, even black in America, they eat ewa. They cooked ewa. And they were eating ewa. And Obama said, do you have salad? So we black man eat salad. The guy has only black color. The inside is pure white. Amen. Why is that so? Because everything has been altered. That's why it sounds strange that you come for an interview, you are not in suit, you have failed. Where did you get that from? Is it the dress they want to do the work? Do we not say that a person that cannot speak good English is uneducated? Who told you? That was what put Nadeko in trouble. They said that Abacha is not educated. He almost killed all of them. If he was not educated, what would he have done? Do you understand? Wrong values. Wrong norms. And why was that? Because they have come to colonize you. Amen. But please look at this thing very well. The colonization is on different levels. There is a normal colonization that British colonized us with. There is another kind of colonization that Satan colonized us with. It's called philosophies. That exalt itself against any knowledge. For example, like you say, do you know that God can heal you? You say, yes, I know, but it is not the kind of, I'm not the kind of person you can heal because I'm from Ijare. You now ask, where did you get that from? Who preached that gospel? Say, no, no, it's just no, no. I don't. You understand? You know, beginning. And those are knowledge. Oh, is it, permit me to say, knowledge. I don't want to shoot gun. Those kind of knowledge, the Bible, they exalt themselves against any knowledge of God. So nothing of God can come through. Those things shut it down. They are very, very powerful. That's why Paul now wrote, he said, you have to decolonize yourself. That's why Romans 12 was written, decolonize yourself. Those philosophies, cast them down. Otherwise, you cannot operate in another kingdom. So when you transfer, just like when you leave Nigeria and you go to Europe, automatically you must conform to their ways. Praise God. That's why I love Nigeria. You may not understand. Yes, I am an Okada people. We like each other. We are okay. I can't go to a country where everybody is. There must be confusion. There must be rough. There must be, you know, I'm okay. Praise God. You understand? I'm a Nigerian. Amen. But I've never seen a Nigerian go to Europe or America and he's shunting. He will queue. But let him get back to Nigeria. That spirit will come back. What is the problem? Something is affecting his mind. Praise God. I hope you are with me. Now, a culture or a society where there is no organized thinking can't produce any economic value. So if you look at all the nations of the world, there was a lot of organization. You look at Babylon, you look at all of them. Now, somebody said God needed to wait for Rome to come on board before Jesus came. Because if Jesus had come before Rome came, there was no way Jesus would have been crucified. Because the Babylonians don't crucify. The Persians and the Medes don't crucify. So it's only the Romans that came out with that indigenous way of crucifying, or rather of killing a person that has been, condemned to death. Others will probably shoot you or carry your head and cut your head off. It was too. But for that prophecy of Jesus, or about Jesus to work, the Roman Empire to come on board. Hallelujah. And the conditions needed to be right. Amen. And it was in the midst of the Roman Empire that it became possible for the gospel to move unhindered. Because the Romans built roads all through the whole empire and made travel safe. In the other empires, travel was 2x2. You may wake, no walk. Praise God. They survived. So they went with armed escorts. Nobody cared about people's safety. It was only the Roman Empire that set that foundation. That was the right time for Jesus to come and die and for the gospel to move. Praise God. And after that, the seasons began to change. And we had so many nations rise and fall until America came and imposed the present economic system on the world. It's called capitalism. Amen. And the Russians also rose up and imposed communism. So we have two competing ideologies in the earth today. Amen. In the midst of these ideologies, Christians are supposed to prosper. But you'll be shocked that if you go to communist countries and you meet a Christian in those communist countries, the way he thinks is not the way a Christian in the capitalist system will be thinking. You now begin to wonder, Are we supposed to be controlled by this us or by another system? It will shock you that many Americans believe that God is an American. They've deceived us to tell us that in God we trust. Say you've heard that before. That America was founded on the Bible. It's a scam. America was not founded in the Bible. They didn't even follow Bible to form America. The story of America is a complete lie. All the founding fathers of America were all these people, Freemasons. All of them were Freemasons. Using the eagle, that eagle, the eagle is the most dangerous bird of prey. They were going to use, that was going to be the bird that was signifying the strength of America. One politician begged them not to use it, but they refused. But the eagle is one bird that is the only bird that flies against the wind. It lives on the highest, and it's the only bird that lives the longest. It can live as old as a human being. That's an eagle. So they knew what they were doing. No, they are not God. Have you seen their $1? That thing they wrote there, that eye, is occultic. But I'm not going to all that this night. Praise God. So we have a world system that is built on satanic values. Where, because the ego preys on weaker animals. It doesn't, of course, anyone that is as weak, he will kill it and eat. That's the nature of America. Praise God. And that's the nature of the capitalist system. Now, you may think it came from Christianity. It didn't come from Christianity. They crafted that system. Am I communicating? It was built deliberately where the fittest survive. Of course, it's free spirit. And you know how America came about? Some people left England and everything, came to the Americas and began to kill native indigenes and took their land and settled there and called it their own. You think that is God? No. That's not God. That's not the way God works. So it's called Wild Wild West. If you can go there and conquer, fine. It's yours. So everybody went conquering, killing, taking, plunged, plow the land themselves that became their own, and they became rich. But that was not really riches until they began to bring in African slaves. African slaves technically built America. Because if I have to build this place for free, and I will be making money renting these things out. You know what? You know how soon I will have a break-even point? Do you have an idea of what they call break-even? Because I've invested 20,000 naira, then I want to see how long that business will run before I break through. The first day I start business, I've broken through because it didn't cost me one dime to build it. Praise God. And they were making money for hundreds of years. It was on the sweat of native Indians, Black Americans, and every other person that they could make slaves that built America and made America a world power. Amen. I hope you are with me, church. But for you to not come and say that America is God's own nation is for you to slight God and dishonor him. Because everything about that country, God has no hand inside it. That does not mean that God was not aware that they were doing what they were doing. So he was watching them go. But it is not him that set that system in motion. So if you come to me and you want to now say you want to rise up and become somebody within that kind of system, there is no way you will not compromise and come against the principles of heaven. I hope I'm making sense. Okay. There are believers in America that they are making it. Hallelujah. Abi? True. But maybe we should ask them how they made it. I don't know. But Praise God. But maybe one thing that helped America is part of, like I said, is free enterprise. It's not like our own, where we are having a mixed system. Nigeria runs a mixed system, where our leaders are capitalists. The rest of us are socialists. Praise God. The rich gets richer, and the poor gets poorer. Do you follow the idea? That's why you're always angry that somebody stole money. In their club, is smart. And nobody's going to touch it. Because when you had your own turn, what did you do with it? It's my turn. Praise God. I hope this is making sense a little bit. Praise God. So we now look at... So I was talking about... There's this thought I want to just finish, please. This issue of seasons. The season of American world economic and military domination is coming to a close. It's coming to a close. America is dying. And all the kingdoms of the earth know it. But they are not really sure when to move. They need to consult with the spirits to know when to attack. You don't attack when they are still strong. Rome did not fall in one day. Rome was not built in one day, and Rome was not destroyed in one day. Praise God. They were, like how did the Bible say, God raised adversaries against Solomon. And he began to attack the empire from small, small sides until his own son came. Remember, his son came, and God said, now, I will now divide them. That's how they did not become one anymore. Praise God. With the help of Biden and the rest of them, America is going to... The time of their fall has come. Praise God. God had prophesied the fall of Babylon thousands of years. But it was not fulfilled until one grandson that did not know what happened in the days when his grandfather fought and made it a powerful nation. The great-grandson. And he went to take up the cup. His great-grandfather had went to take Judea of the temple and use it to drink wine. God now said, that prophecy I gave through Jeremiah, now I'm going to fulfill it. May the spirit of Ashishe not jump on you. Prophecy does not have to, negative words does not have to occur in your own day and your own life. So God has set the times and the locations for the rise and fall of nations. They will rise and they will fall. They will rise and they will fall. They will rise and they will fall. Now the issue is this. Where do we stand in the timetable of God? Because if you don't know where we stand, there's no economic program you and I can pursue that will bring out anything. Are you with me? If God said it's time to go and hide, you don't go out. So we must know the economy. What is the season? What seasons are we rolling into? So that we can know how we ought to behave ourselves. Amen. Now, this question for me is difficult. Because if you go to Revelation chapter 6. Can you please, if you have Revelation 6. Can you go to Revelation 6:1? And I saw when the lamp opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts say, come and see. Verse 2. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. A power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances. I've not finished verse 5, sorry. Okay, and I heard the voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, can you take me back to 6? I'll finish verse 5. A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou art not the oil and the wine. Verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. It's called the four beasts of the apocalypse. The question is, has this occurred? Or is it occurring? Or is it going to occur? Praise God. I said praise God. Remember the first beast was dressed in white. And he went forth to conquer. Problem that theologians don't agree what this stood for. Some people say it was the church that went forth to conquer. Praise God. I don't know. My concern is with the second, third, and fourth beast. Praise God. Now, can you roll back to verse 3 and let me look at the characteristics of the second beast. Roll back to verse 3 for me. Hey, verse 4 there. Verse 4. And this horse was red. It should take away peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. Now, what is the difference between man and the fourth beast? Who was called death, and hell followed him? What is the difference between two of them? I don't know whether you understand the question I'm asking. This one took away peace from the earth, and they were killing one another. Praise God. I mean, what else were they doing? And he had a great sword. So his job is to go out and encourage nations against nations. Remember the prophecy of Jesus. Nations shall rise against nations. And kingdom against kingdom. You remember? Hey, that is happening now. Kingdoms have been rising since the day of God knows when. When Benin Empire rose, attacked everybody and killed them. Then rose the Kanuri Empire. Everyone was just killing one another. Praise God. They now said another horse will rise. This horse, his own job is economic. It's carrying balances. Praise God. It's an economic horse. Sell wheat for so much. Sell barley for so much. Amen. That tells you that they are going to have a famine to contend with, and it's going to be worldwide. Economic conditions will crash. The economies of the world have not crashed. It's about to crash. Praise God. Then there will be the fourth horse. It's going to come with death. And it's going to kill one-fourth of the earth population. There is no time in the history of the earth that one-fourth of the earth population has been killed. So these prophecies have not occurred. That's what happened. I hope you are with me. And all these things are the handiwork of men. It is men that are opening the portals to allow these things to come in to the earth. Because just like God will not do anything without revealing to his servants the prophet, so Satan will not do anything on the earth without somebody activating it to come down. Amen. But when, just like you saw in the days of Daniel, that the angel said, Prince of Persia has been judged, now cometh the Prince of Greece. Listen to me, I've said it many times. If you watch 300, the islands of the Greeks were islands, they were nation states, just like Akure is a state on his own. The Luigi is a state on his own. And everybody ran his government the way he pleased. It's a kind of, they were all independent. They were always fighting one another. Civil war was fighting. So it was now you now saying that, can you imagine when Daniel was speaking those prophecies? It's like you said that Togo will one day rise and confront America and defeat America in battle. You must be sick to think that Togo will rise one day and kill America in battle. It can't happen. Like, yeah. Are you with me, church? But that was a prophecy. And for years, people were looking. Now, I understand that between the time Daniel gave that prophecy and that thing became a reality was over 100 years. And many things were happening and nobody even remembered that Daniel had spoken those things into existence. So when they dislodged the prince of Persia, when that angel returned, the manifestation in the realm of men took over 100 years before we saw the manifestation. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Hallelujah. And so how did it happen? The Persians attacked the Greeks because they had overrun everywhere in the world. It was this island of Greece that remained. But every time they attacked them, those small people will beat them back. They tried. I watched one of the historical films. The father of Exodus told him, said, don't fight the Grecians. Said it will take a god to defeat them. Amen. Says we take only God to defeat them. And they were small. So we're talking about military might, talking about every economy, everything. The Persians were not their mate. I said, don't fight them. That was when they said, he will become a God. And they made him a God. Occultic powers. Oh, he became a God. So you know the rest of the story in 300. Go and watch 300. Real documentary story. Hallelujah. And they fought, and they still did not conquer the Greece. By the time all those things happened, it took another few years, many years, about 50 years, until one young small boy rose in the house of the king of Greece. His name was Alexander the Great. Small boy, 17, began to fight. His father died under mysterious circumstances. History believes that it was Alexander that assassinated his father and became king. For one reason or the other, he was able to subdue all the kings of Greece and brought them all under, and they became one under him. And that boy went out to war. They said about him that his mother was a witch. Mother was a real original, not the witch that used to fly here. But talk about witches that understand governmental authority. Not the witch is always looking to not let you go to school. An eagle flew over the head of that person, of Alexander. He was invincible. No blade would touch his body. He would go to war. No blade. He never came and said there was a scratch. Fresh body. As he went, he will come back. Fine boy. Amen. He said he fought in India. He went to fight under the canopy of trees. Because India was well vegetated. Praise God. And there was a disconnect between him and that eagle. Couldn't see the eagle. Eagle could not see him. That was the first time he was injured in battle. They had to carry him out of the battle. He didn't go back to India again. He too, will you go? Amen. These people are occultic. See, no person becomes an empire. No nation becomes anything without the help of spirits. I've told you many times. So when you look at Nigeria, you say, oh, Nigeria, we have these brilliant people, we have this. It is not by going to school that you become anything. Which spirit is controlling your nation? Secondly, what is the confines of his operation? Are you with me? After Rome, there is no nation again that will be the leader, that will rule the world again. Until the manifestation of those 10 toes. I hope I'm making sense. Nobody's going to rule the whole world. That's why America does not have the final silver in any matter. China is there. They will veto it. Russia is there, they refer to it. They don't have final say over anything. Are you with me? There's that constant tensions here and there. Praise God. And it's within this system that we are all finding ourselves. Praise God. So the question now comes up. Who are you? Most of us believers identify ourselves by the place we come from. That's why the thought process of an American Christian is not the same like the Christian in China. It's not the same like the Christians in Nigeria. Because we are still seeing ourselves as coming from the earth. I don't know whether I'm making sense. We are still living as mere men. And that, for me, is one of the problems we have now is facing us. What do we do with 2023? We are still thinking like Nigerians. I'm a Yoruba person. I've listened to many people say, it's not about church, and they are believers. One said on radio that even my pastor, Oshibajo, but this one, I'm okay with this Muslim music to get. I said, identity crisis. And so if you don't know where you are from, your values will be wrong. Your norms will be wrong. And the institution and the structures you are going to build will all be wrong. And so we are finding ourselves here, asking ourselves, who are we really? Are we Nigerians or are we Zionites? Now let me say this, because I'm aware of my time. Praise God. I will continue next week. God will help me. Amen. But I hope you are following me. If you and I continue to see ourselves like this, then we have to operate within the parameters of and the limitations of the system that we have found ourselves in. Are you with me? This system has handicapped us because the prince that rules this area has his mandate. You can't prosper without him having a say. You can't. How do I know that? Satan told Jesus, said, all these things you see, you came for the glory, the riches. You came for these things, but they are mine to give. Praise God. They are mine to give. And if you want me to give you, you come on my terms. Praise God. Can't go on anybody else's terms. You can't come on your terms and say, I possess. Who born you? You can't. Praise God. You know, this morning I was just thinking, please, sir, it appears as if we know Bible more than Paul. We know Bible more than Paul. Our revelation is deeper than Paul. I've been trying to ask myself, how come Paul did not say, I decree, you Ephesians shall grow, shall prosper. It's a decree. People share prayer points with me. They decree a lot for me. And I ask, where did we find all that from? Who taught us? Why were they granted to be decreeing decrees? What said I pray for you? It is I decree. There are two different things. I can't decree over your life. Even myself, I can't decree. I can only pray for him that God will touch him. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm making sense. You know, I can only decree and speak to the creation. I can only talk to creation. I can't decree men. I say, I decree you are blessed. It doesn't work like that. Amen. That was by the way. Praise God. I just did Jara for you. Where was I? Where did I lose my thought? You have to submit to this prince. Because if you don't submit to the prince, you cannot become anything. That's the way it works. And so you find many people go to meet babalawos. That's why they do yahoo yahoo. And it's not only, listen to me, this is not the first time they've been doing it. Since the politicians in Nigeria have been doing money ritual since when I was small. They call them bomo bomo. That's what they have been doing it. They carry people's cards and go and use it to ritual. I was asking, sir, don't put this on tape. I was just looking. All this, are they the bull of them? And Saraki, what business were they doing? And Achilles, and they had money. Those people had money. You can't meet them and say, sir, and money will not drop. It's only in Nigeria that nobody, they don't have factory. They don't have business, can. And they are multi-billionaires. And you're asking, how did they get the money? It's not everybody that is stealing your government money. They are bringing it for them. And it requires human sacrifice to keep it going. You now understand why people are always missing. Because they have to make a league with spirits in order to download these things. And it is that system you say you want, I want breakthrough. How do you want to get a breakthrough? Hallelujah. So you can say that within this system we have found ourselves in, there is no hope for us. We can't use this. Remember David said something, and it's very important that we realize that. When he was going to fight Goliath, what did Saul say? He said, take my armor, Abby. He said, I can't use it. I'm not trained for this. I'm not trained with it. I don't know how to use it. So I will use what God has taught me. And what did God teach him? Stones. Goliath, am I a dog? See, when you appear, the princes will say, am I a dog that you want to prosper here without my permission? But because what you are holding is like what David held in battle. Praise God. How am I making sense? So the system is designed against us. It's tagged against us. You can't go anywhere except you are prepared to compromise. Oh, Pastor. Karim Bronoste. I'm a medical doctor. You've read medicine. You've read all the books in medicine. Many of them are run out of Nigeria. Because there's no program for them. So let me come back to where I was. The third Bible says the beast. He now said this. Said there are, so balances, we're talking about economic famine coming. And he said this. Said, do not touch the oil and what? And the wine. These are items of luxury. I hope you are with me. They are items of what? What is coming will not affect the rich. It will affect the poor. Because the rich have what it takes. Look, in Nigeria there are over 200, what am I talking about? Over 200 private jets. Anybody say they pay like this, they are out. They don't need visa. To do that, we go to Lagos, we want to be looking for visa in Abuja. They don't need visa. Once they enter their private jet, they land in America, they want to land. They don't go through the customs. The car will come and meet them there. Enter the car and they will drive off. At least I saw it in television film. It is you and I that will still be queen and they'll be checking our passport. Yes, where are you coming from? Where is your name? Who's your father? Who's your mother? They can even deport you if you're not careful. But if you don't answer the question correctly, you are entering the next plane back to your village. Hallelujah. It says things are going to be expensive. When you are buying these things for so much. Now, the word penny here, if you look at it in the original Greek, is actually a day's wage. When you are buying the bread for a day's wage, you know your case is bad. It's bad. So how much money can you get? You have read. You have gone to the best universities. An idiot is our leader. Doesn't know Jack. There is program in God for us to succeed. But not on their terms. Not with their technology. Not with their arrangement. We can't do well in this arrangement. How do you want to do it? Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. They put you in charge of project. A guy expects you to be a thief. When you don't thief, you will have problem with them. Because they will ask you, why are you not a thief like them? Do you follow me? they can't understand how. So you, one of my sons that left Buta, he said he can't flow. He went to Abuja to go and work. He did 1 year. He said, "Dad, I can't survive." He ran away. He wanted to go and do ministry. I said, "Even ministry, they wait for you there." Because it's a system. Okay, you can sing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to wax record. I'm able to waiting for you. Just release your master something. It is you that will hear it. And your name will be there. I'm asking. So what do you want to do? So they will tell you, well, if you want us to not do that, come and see us. You show your talent, everything. You go to Alaba and go and beg them. Then they will tell you, all right, we will give you 20 naira for every... this work I did. All right, go and sell it yourself. What do you want to do? Praise God. Let me stop here. They said my time is up. I have 1 minute. Okay, let me use my 1 minute because they will not give me 1 minute next time I come. Amen. So, this is a transition. Let me just explain something, Sha. At least just for the sake of just dropping this image. We started with the agricultural age. They moved from the agricultural age to the industrial age. Presently, we are in the information age. But where are we going? We are going to the digital age. It is within the confines of the digital age that the Antichrist will rise and demand that men should take the number of the 666. Because it is money. Because how do I know it is money? So you cannot buy, you cannot sell. It's not about you going to church. You can go to church. You can go to the moon if you like. That's your business. The issue is about buying and selling. And if you look at our lives has been conditioned around buying and selling. And I've told us before, try not to have money in your pocket and see how agitated you will be. Praise God. There's no money in your pocket. And you are still safe. Praise God. You are not normal. But that's why you and I are supposed to come to. Because if I can control your money, I can control your life. Are you with me? There are times I want to say I'm not doing it again, but I remember that I have wife and children at home. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Yeah. That's why it is easier to serve God when you are not married than when you are married. Because when you want to do certain things, mommy there also, baby there also. You go and work for somebody, your guy says, "Are you stupid? I'm not talking, you're talking, I'm not wrong." And you say, "Hey, me, you're talking to me, sir. I'm not working for you." There's no job in town. Calm down. Praise God. But I like this Yoruba saying, that it says that, "Are we going to prostrate for Malu? Because we want to eat beef." Did I get it? That's one question the believers must answer. Are you going to sell your soul because of what you want to eat? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. Those young men, and those stories are there because God wants us to have them. They said, "If our God does not deliver us, we will not bow." The greatest, apart from food, the greatest instinct of man is self-preservation. Satan told God, said, "Let me touch Job. Is his flesh? Job, is he not man? Can you get to that point and say, if I die, if I perish, I perish. But this one, I'm sorry, sir, I cannot call you brother. Are you that strong in heart? Because I cannot promise that you follow the ways of God, you will always have food to eat. Are you with me? Because I don't know his program for each person. If you read the book of, book of Hebrews, chapter 11, when it was talking about the heroes of faith, there were people that God delivered. They wrought all kinds of things, but there were some people He did not deliver. He left them there. I don't know which class He will be. Yes, I promise you that He will deliver you. He doesn't deliver you. Then He said, Pastor, light. Are you with me? But the Bible says the two of them did it by what? By faith. Now, it's not that God cannot deliver. Actually, where that scripture says, they say they refuse deliverance. It was as if God did not want to. God would have, if they had demanded that they be delivered. He would have delivered them. But this was said, we will not, we are not even interested in delivering us. Put us in fire and let us get away with it. And God intervened. Hallelujah. But if you don't want deliverance, it's okay. They're okay. Praise God. Are you with me? So that's why the gospel of it shall be where, we need to put it in the right context. Amen. It shall be well means that God will be glorified. How He chooses to be glorified is His prerogative and your faith. You can tell God, I'm not dying by this word. But that does not mean that you cannot die by anger. So you cannot tell God properly, God, I want to grow old. But in growing old, what about you now hearing all kinds of bad news? Will you not die of heart attack yourself? For example, today I had bad news. I just had to encourage myself in the Lord. They invited President Buhari to come to Libya to come and give a talk on security. You know why I was unhappy? And this thing with my father says, oppression makes the wise man mad. So you want to stay alive. Can you cope with madness? Because you'll be seeing oppression every day. And people will be powerless to do anything. Can you continue like that for the next 100 years? I don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, somebody died at 30. They killed him like they killed Stephen. And you say, he died premature death. The guy went on time. Left the rest of you to sort yourselves out. Well, I'm not going there. Praise God. Amen. By God's grace, next week I will start talking about the economic principles of God. How God, set His own parallel economic system in place. Why and how He wants us to operate those principles. Amen. It's not just making money for making money's sake. There is always a reason for that, and there is always a purpose for that. And this I want us to see. If I don't finish in 2 weeks, I still have 2 more weeks to talk about it. Praise God. Am I communicating? I'll do it. God will help me and we'll look at it. There's so much to learn from God's ways. It's unfortunate that many people in the Old Testament operated the principles of the nations around them. And that's why Israel kept failing. But we'll see those who operated God's principles and how they succeeded. Praise God.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.